couple of the place aged care homes that we minister in. We go to Carinya just across the road, and we also go to Cara House up near the hospital. And Beryl Pierce is one of those who visits so very regularly. There are others who come on the team and do that. But it's a wonderful ministry, and I'd like you to just continue to keep in prayer the older folks in our community. Can you give us a wave there, Keith? Keith's come from Cara House this morning, so it's lovely to have you with us for the first time worshipping. And right in front of Keith, Joan McWinney. Joan, many of you probably see Joan come quietly and go. She goes across the road back to Cara House, but to Carinya, thank you. But you may not know, I'm just going to say a little word this morning because I've wanted to for some time, but Joan's come out to Australia from Ireland and has lived her life in Ireland. And when I found out a little about her story one stage, she said something to me, Joan, like, you're the first person I've told this to here in Australia. So I thought it would be good just for you to know that and have a chat sometimes about, and to come into Australia late in life, quite late in life, huge step of faith, but her daughter and son are here in Australia, and her daughter's part of the network, really, through Carinya that she's been able to come and live here in Clare. So very warm welcome to you again at the service, and please pass our blessings on as you're able to the places as you share there. We do think of you, and only the other day we had a service up at Cara House, and yes, there were new faces there that I'd not met, and others who'd gone home to the Lord since I'd been away. So that's part of our ministry together. Let me read Jeremiah, and as we do, Jeremiah's a prophet from the Old Testament, and say writing or functioning somewhere around the rule of or the reign of King Josiah. So we're thinking around about 627 BC. So 600 and some years before the birth of Christ. And that's Josiah's reign from then. And you remember, goes backwards. You hit from 627, so back to, say, 587, the fall of Jerusalem. Jeremiah was operating in those times. And he's a prophet who had some difficult things to say, and that's what we're looking at, one part of that today. So to read to you from Jeremiah chapter 4, and the chapter begins to say, I'll read the first two verses and then go to the ones we're going to look more at. But if you return, O Israel, says the Lord, if you return to me, if you remove your abominations from my presence and do not waver, and if you swear, as the Lord lives, in truth, in justice, and in uprightness, then nations shall be blessed by him, and by him they shall boast. So as the living God lives, they were to return. This is a covenant people, to return Israel, come back to the Lord. And of course, that was a difficult thing because they were pretty much hell-bent on their autonomy and the way they were going, and it was a difficult word Jeremiah had to speak. Then picking up from verse 11. And these are just, we're sort of diving into, really they were poems written at the time, but poems that are with a view to disturbing people in the right way to draw them back into their relationship with the Lord. At that time, it will be said to this people and to Jerusalem, a hot wind comes from me out of the bare heights in the desert toward my poor people, not to winnow or cleanse, a wind too strong for that. Now it is I who speak in judgment against them. Look, he comes up like clouds, his chariots like the whirlwind, his horses are swifter than eagles. Woe to us, for we are ruined. And the prophets, they could see the political times, what was happening, and they understood in the light of where this blessed nation was at, blessed and called and so on, that coming from the north, the Assyrians, the trouble they would have was that the entirety of Jerusalem eventually would be ransacked. So, you know, it was a hard word. And then to pick up a little further down, I'm going to pick up Jeremiah, how he's feeling about what he's seeing. Verse 19, my anguish, I writhe with pain. Oh, the walls of my heart. My heart is beating wildly. I cannot keep silent, for I hear the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Disaster overtakes disaster. The whole land is laid waste. Suddenly my tents are destroyed, my curtains in a moment. How long must I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people are foolish and they do not know me. They're stupid children. They have no understanding. They're skilled in doing evil, but do not know how to do good. And then what he saw on the earth as he looked, and you'll hear echoes of Genesis chapter 1 here. I looked on the earth, and lo, it was waste and void. And to the heavens, and they had no light. Remember Genesis chapter 1, the earth was void and the Lord said, let there be light. It was as if there was no one hearing what God was saying. They weren't paying attention. There was no voice, no word. They were living in the darkness of no word, no hopeful word coming to them. I looked on the mountains, and lo, they were quaking, and all the hills moved to and fro. I looked, and lo, there was no one at all, and all the birds of the air had fled. The sign of that Genesis chapter of God's gracious word and his sign of blessing were flocks of birds and all the blessing of the creatures. I looked, and lo, the fruitful land was a desert, and all its cities were laid in ruins before the Lord, before his fierce anger. For thus says the Lord, the whole land shall be a desolation. And then a little prophetic word of hope that's woven through it all, yet I will not make a full end. Because if the earth shall mourn and the heavens above grow black, for I've spoken, I've purposed, I've not relented, nor will I turn back. And so Jeremiah was speaking a word that they were ripe now for a judgment, a stronger, deeper judgment than they'd anticipated ever. And to lose their land and to be taken away was far worse than they'd ever thought. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, as we listen to your word, as we're thinking about it, we pray that you would speak to our hearts through Christ who's present to us, and that we might receive your good word in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Whenever we come to the prophets, we come to them, we listen to them sort of differently than they would have heard the prophets in, 600, 700 years before Jesus' birth, because we come in a different time frame and we come with a different understanding. And, for example, or perhaps the, not one example, the example is this. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. So he spoke to them through prophetic word that came to them right through Israel's history. But in these last days, that is the days since the arrival of the birth of God's dear Son, in these days he has spoken to us by a Son in these last days, through whom he's appointed, the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. And so that's the setting we're listening to, is God has blessed us, Paul says, in Christ with every spiritual blessing. So the whole blessing of God has come to us through the incarnation, through the atonement of Christ, through his word of forgiveness and kindness. The whole blessing of God has come upon us and flows to us and is flowing to the human race through Jesus Christ. So we are people who know that. And in the light of that, we listen to the prophets differently. Can you hear what I'm saying there? So we listen to the prophets in the light of knowing God's his unfailing commitment to and promises to the human race and his plan for the creation. All of that is good and wonderful, and it's set in place. But so within that context, we now listen to the prophets and we listen to the way they spoke and the things they've said, and we hear their words afresh. Now, we've been looking at Jeremiah for really just a couple of weeks. Rob Morgan spoke on Jeremiah while he was here, but Jeremiah was raised up at a time to help the leadership, and he had to bring a prophetic voice, a voice that was to assist King Josiah. He wanted some reforms, and he wanted to put some reforms in place, and Jeremiah was sent to be a help to him, to be able to speak things that needed to happen and to respond. You and I are part of a nation, a country, and we're the Christian church, and we have a voice to communicate with, and it's a voice that is to assist and be a blessing and a benefit where we can to the nation, to the leaders of our nation and so on. And Jeremiah was told when he was called, I found you, the Lord says, I found you and I formed you in the womb. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So he was formed in the womb, and even before then he was known. Currently in the Parliament in New South Wales, they're having a fairly strong debate concerning abortion, and some are fighting their own party to say no, this is terrible legislation. And some of us know jolly well better than the way we're legislating, and we need a prophetic voice. A human being's a human being in the womb. And you can get in more trouble for dealing wrongly with a turtle's egg than you can dealing with a human being in embryonic situation. So how do we get there? Well, we got there because we wanted to be deaf. And so there's a prophetic voice that's coming afresh to be heard. I formed you in the womb. I knew you. And then he says to Jeremiah, I sanctified you. I sanctified you, or consecrated you. I've set you apart and appointed you or ordained you a prophet to the nations. So it's not only this nation, but to the other nations, and Jeremiah had words for them as well. But he was called and he was given this ministry. And the Lord said, I've also, in another part, he said, I've given you a tough forehead and I've made you strong, because they're not going to like what you say. And so he had to speak in those contexts. Don't be dismayed. I've made you of bronze. They'll fight against you, for I'm with you. Don't be dismayed. And then the Lord put his hand on him and said, and this is from Jeremiah 1, now that I've put my words in your mouth, see today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms. And this was his task, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow. What is he plucking up and what's he pulling down? Well, falsehood. Things that are not true. He's speaking a word to say, no, that's not actually true. That's not what God's about. So let's just dismantle it. It's not actually real. And the third thing was, so to pluck up and pull down, to destroy and overthrow, all of the kingdoms that are not true won't endure. Then the last one is to build and to plant. So Jeremiah is faced with a tough gig. He's got his people are going to go into judgment. They're feeling that. But his whole purpose, God's purpose, is to build and to plant, and to build a nation and to plant a nation that is to bless the whole world and the whole universe with a hope. And of course we know that was semi-fulfilled when they came back to the land and began to plant. But it was even they had to build and plant. Jeremiah told them, while you're away in Babylon, you'll have to build and plant gardens there. And you press on with hope, and you be a blessing to those people there as well. So Jeremiah's got this ministry to build and to plant. The Christian church has the most positive, most wonderful things to say in the face of all that happens in the world today. We have a wonderful word of hope. The word of hope is that God has come to us in Jesus Christ. He has in him brought us every blessing in the heavenly places. And through faith in him, we come into a relationship with God whereby we have one blessing after another. And yes, yeah, so how do we hear prophetic words from Jeremiah? How do we hear when we, you know, look, say, at our land? I just picked up the news last night, and 6 people missing in New South Wales. A helicopter came down, and that looks like the end of their lives. Bushfire, a man said, I've lost everything now, and bushfires sort of breaking out. We have, the droughts across the land. We have, you know, the upheaval, saying on just in Hong Kong, if we're looking beyond our own nation. So we have, you know, every night on the news, every night I've been alive, there's always been some tragic thing happen. And, you know, Jesus was asked once, did this tragic thing happen? The tower fell on these people because they were, you know, they were the worst. He said, no, it didn't happen on them because they were worse, really. But unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. So Jesus is calling people back into relationship. He's saying, look, come, return. And Jeremiah's word and our word to our nation is, if you want to be an atheist, that's fine. Any old religion will do, or none, or some. No, ours is, our word is to return to the covenant God who created us for his glory, who made our young people to learn early of the wonderful hope set before the human race, and for our church to be part of the community life, one with it, serving it, in it, but not of it, with a fresh word, knowing God's grace and able to invite people, call people, share it with them, come home, as the prodigal father says to his stubborn son, come inside, son, come home. Come back. We've got the barbecue on for the other son, and for that wayward son who prays, Lord, I pray he'll come home. That prodigal father, that generous father, that's the message. That's the people of God. We're calling people to come home. Come home to the Father. Come to him who loves you and who has given his absolute utmost that you might be blessed for eternity. Come home in that. And this is what we're to hear. It's what we're to know and to do in the midst of all the strife and difficulties. So this covenant God is at work to bring down that which is false and to build up that. And look, disaster comes, and in our own day and in our own age, it's in these tough times, folks. You've got a word. You're a prophetic community. You've got something to say. And that is not where you're getting what you deserve for not being true, is to say, no, this covenant God, yes, he does, he is speaking to us. He's calling us back to himself. Return. Get rid of that stuff that's not true. And as the Lord lives in truth, in justice and in uprightness, then the nations shall be blessed by him, and by him they shall boast. It's wonderful in history when nations turn back to the Lord. It's wonderful when they just strangely hear the word of God. It's wonderful when one person, isn't it? One new Christian causes all that trouble among a congregation. They come very excited about everything. And it's a great thing. Well, you know, my favourite story still, I would have mentioned it before, but is still the story of what happened in Wales in 1905 or thereabouts. But 120,000 Christians in 6 weeks just came back to church. Imagine, people would be, what are they doing here? They never come. And something happened. The Spirit of God moved and drew them back, and they returned, and they came home, and they said, wow, this is wonderful. How marvellous. That is taking place, and we need to be encouraged where it is. And sometimes you think it's not going to take place. No one's listening. And we know our generations, and we grew up with many people who stopped a long time ago believing and receiving. But the word is still, come home to this good God who has our deepest, deepest blessing in mind. I'd like to share a little verse, which was, or not a verse, but a quote, really, from P.T. Forsyth. He had to speak during the First World War, and he could see that the church, still sometimes amidst all that had happened during World War One, they weren't responding in the way that they might have. They weren't entering afresh in to see the greatness of what they had been involved in. So he wrote this, and he wrote it with the same passion and heart as Jeremiah. He said, for civilization may deserve to collapse, if only because it crucified the Son of God and crucifies him afresh. But if God spared not his own son, he will spare no historic convulsion needful for his kingdom. And if the unspared son neither complained nor challenged, but praised and hallowed the Father's name, we too may worship and bow the head. The encouragement there is to see that, you know, stay with the Lord, keep hearing his voice, keep responding to him as we go through what are really convulsions, and they're needful for the kingdom, for the turning, for the building of the Lord's great purposes. Within all of that, as maybe disaster overtakes disaster, remember it's with a view to building and to planting. May the Lord add his blessing to the word this morning. Amen. Shall we pray? A covenant Lord, we thank you for blessing so many people here in Australia, in our land. We thank you for the covenant blessings that come with faith in Christ. And Father, we thank you too that within that relationship we have with you, secure for all eternity, there are also the warnings not to harden our hearts or turn away or turn to other gods. So we pray, Lord, today that we might hear anew your call to faithfulness, to trust you in what we don't really quite see you doing. And Lord, we pray that you would give us a deep and profound trust in your way of working in our world today. Father, we thank you that you're the sovereign God over the weather, over the governments, over the thoughts of our hearts, and you're the sovereign Lord who comes to us and brings us Jesus Christ that we might believe and have hope. So Lord, fill us anew with your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit, we pray, on our land, that we might turn our hearts anew to you and the whole community might find this wondrous God in our midst. Lord, hear our prayers as we pray for those who are suffering, those whose livelihoods are under profound threat. And Lord, we pray for our land. We pray and ask in your mercy for rain. We pray for those putting out the bushfires, for your mercy. For those struggling to know what to do next with their animals or whatever. Lord, we ask for your mercy and a way forward for each of them. Hear our prayers, for we ask this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.